Hey guys, welcome to The Adapt Effect. This is a podcast designed to give you an approachable take to help you grow in all things health, wellness, and fitness. I'm your host, Amber Dupree, and you are now listening to the whopping episode 13. Guys, we just hit over 600 plays, and I know that's really, really small, and that's on a very small scale, but that's something I'm really proud of because this podcast is something that I was very resistant to do from the very beginning. I've always been kind of scared to put my education, opinions, values, morals, I guess, out there because I've always been, I don't want to say insecure, but I guess I had my own insecurities. So here's to episode 13. On today's podcast, we're actually going to tie all of that in today. So we're going to talk about some self-care. We're going to go through a couple insecurities that I've noticed through my clients, through myself, through women, through males, all that good stuff. And we're also going to talk about the things I've implemented into my daily routine, things that work for me, things that work for my clients, boundaries that I believe that you need to have set in order to achieve your best and your authentic self. So today is going to be all about self-care, self-love, all that good stuff, that mushy, mushy stuff that only us females really talk about, but hopefully I got some good men listening too. That way we can jump into our selves and who we truly are and walk and step into our confidence, right? That way we can fulfill our calling, I guess you can say. All right, guys. So self-care. There's five things I want to touch on today in today's podcast. Things that have really helped me, I think, grow into who I am, who I want to be, things I'm still implementing, things I'm still learning and actively trying to do, because I've noticed that they've had a very, very positive impact on my life. So I'm going to share some of that with you guys. Take it with a grain of salt. Implement some of it if you like. And whatever you don't like, fuck it. Who cares, right? All right. So five things that I think are really important. First, morning and night routine. We're going to dig into all of these a little bit deeper as the podcast proceeds, but I'm just going to list them out for you first. So first thing, morning and night routine. Second thing, setting boundaries, and do not fold after you set those boundaries. So we're going to take a look at boundaries I've set, boundaries I've had some of my clients and some of my dear and near close friends set, and kind of what that's looked like to them and what it's done for me in my life. Number three is going to be time management. Number four is going to be the way you speak to yourself. And number five is going to be seeking growth. Now we're going to talk about all of these things individually, and then we're going to talk about how they all tie in, because as you will see as this podcast goes on, they definitely do all tie in. All right, guys. So within these past 6 months to a year, I've really started stepping into my calling, and I couldn't step into my calling if I didn't first step into my confidence, right? So if I didn't first get comfortable with the good and the bad about myself, who I am, what my message is, the good and the bad about that as well. And really, society just tells us that the standard of beauty and what we should be, what we shouldn't be, it tells us those things. So for me, a huge part of stepping into my confidence and my calling was kind of just saying, fuck society's social constructs, okay? And I'm going to go deeper into what I mean by that as the podcast goes on. But guys, I mean, if we're being real with ourselves, society tells us the standards of beauty. And whether we admit it or not, it gets stuck in our subconscious mind, right? So this is because of ads you see. Social media, how often, you know, we get this weekly screen report now and it tells us how much time we spend on our phone. And each time I get the report, I just want to vomit. You know, it's like, I'm embarrassed of how much time I spend on my phone, but it's just what we've succumbed to, right? So ads, social media, Photoshop, celebrities that we follow, you know, have these unattainable bodies and they lie about getting plastic surgery, this, that, and so on. So we just have these standards in our head. I mean, take it a step further, right? So let's look at TikTok. That's kind of the new platform that everybody's on, everybody's engaging in. It's a really easy way to grow. There's pros and cons to that. However, I will say about TikTok, guys, their algorithm, right? So there's rumors, don't quote me on this, I don't know how true this is, but I've seen it happen firsthand where people will post a video and TikTok will take it down. And the only real logical explanation they can come up with is because their body type doesn't fit the standards that, you know, everybody else who goes viral on TikTok, they don't look the same, right? So everyone going viral on TikTok, for the most part, these women like have, you know, very slim figures, perfect smiles, perfect teeth, perfect everything, right? And the second somebody posts a funny video or a body confidence video that doesn't look like every other person on TikTok that has gone viral, their video all of a sudden violates community guidelines. So there's a lot of rumors going around TikTok saying that if you don't look a certain way, you won't go viral, your video can get taken down, blah, 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 so on and so forth. So regardless if that's true or not, what you do see on social media platforms is these people going viral and these people getting thousands and thousands of likes because of what? The beauty standard they're upholding, right? So on TikTok especially, you see these perfect slim girls who probably just have incredible genetics, who've probably never worked out a day in their life, you know, and if they have, kudos to them. But they're going viral, they're getting all this attention because they're obtaining this amazing physique, right? So whether we notice it or not, these standards of what is getting portrayed by getting all these likes and all these retweets and all these things, these are stuck in our subconscious mind, right? And so the scary part about this, guys, is it's not only stuck in the subconscious mind of young females, right? So we're growing up thinking we have to look this way, so we spend our entire lives altering our bodies one way or another, or hating ourselves one way or another, to fit this image. But what scares me even more about that, guys, is the fact that it's getting stuck in the subconscious mind of young men as well. So from a very young age, we're teaching these guys, this is what a female, a woman, a young woman should look like. And it's very hard for men to fight through that, I believe, because society over and over again just sets this standard and this picture of what beautiful is. So they grow up thinking that this is beautiful, and this is what my friends think are beautiful, and this is what my father thinks is beautiful, and just all these people around them that saying that this is what beauty is. It makes it very hard for a young man, I believe, to stray away from that idea of beautiful. You know, I can't tell you how many times people on TikTok or Instagram or whatever have bashed me for something I've already probably been insecure about, you know, because it doesn't fit that standard of what I should look like, right? So my face is very chubby by nature. I have a very boxy face. And I promise you, every single time I post on TikTok, I have someone calling me Minecraft. Like, I don't know if you guys get that reference. If you don't, do me a favor, just Google it really quick. And basically, it's this creature, this figure or whatever, this character, this anime character or whatever it is, and its face is essentially a box, right? So people will say, oh, she's a butterface, or call me all these names every single time I post. And it just goes to show you that we really can't be comfortable with our insecurities. We can't allow ourselves to stray away from what is deemed as beautiful. Because if we do, the second we do, or the second we are confident in our skin and don't give a fuck about the way society tells us we should look, the second we do that, the second we have confidence without looking a certain way, people are going to tear us down, right? So I kind of went on a tantrum there. Don't really know where I was going with that, but yeah, whatever. Society basically tells us the standard of beauty, right? So as I begin to step into my calling, for those of you who have never listened to a podcast of mine before, don't have me on social media, which is probably none of you, because who else listened to my podcast, right? But let's say there is a stranger on here listening to me. I am a fitness person, right? So my life is literally built around fitness. I'm a personal trainer. I'm a fitness manager. I guess you can call me a fitness influencer, even though I freaking hate that word. But yeah, all of the above, that is me. That is your girl, right? So obviously I'm very active on social media. And guys, I'm just telling you my backstory to see like where I've gone and where I've been. That way you can get into why I really take these five steps very, very seriously. So yeah, so my background is obviously fitness. So I take social media very seriously. About 6 months to a year ago, I really decided I needed to take it probably 10 times more seriously than I was if I really wanted my business to grow. So I started building a website. I started really putting myself out there on all social media platforms, even TikTok. And I'm about to be 26, so talk shit, but whatever. I'm finding creative ways to put my content out there. And to me, that's what matters. And anyone who doesn't like it, I could give a fuck less. So yeah, there's that. But regardless, I began putting myself out there on social media. And what I found was I was very exhausted. And I ended up really resenting social media and just logging on to Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. It was exhausting to me. I hated it. I hated every second of it. So I was having a really deep conversation with one of my really good friends now. And he was just being very real with me. And this is the beginning of probably the meat and potatoes of my fitness career, right? So he was just telling me how social media should not be exhausting if you're being your authentic self. If you're really being who you actually are on social media and showing up and just being yourself, there is not a damn thing that's exhausting about that. And when we were having this conversation, I found myself constantly trying to defend myself. So I would change my story and say, oh, I'm not really exhausted, or oh, no, I am being myself, but the negative comments, blah, blah, blah. But during that conversation and even after it, I don't even think he understands how much of an impact this conversation had on my life. But during and after that conversation, I began to realize, wow, he's fucking right. I'm not being myself on social media. I am trying to uphold this perfect being, this fucking goddess, strong-willed, strong-minded female. Nobody can fuck with me. Aura I was trying to uphold, and it just wasn't me. Like, it wasn't me. I began to start posting things that, you know, sure, sometimes it's okay, but it just, I was doing it for the likes, right? So every other picture of me would be like a fucking booty pic, or not a booty pic, but like a fitness booty pic, you know what I mean? Like a post-workout glute check, whatever. And it just, like I said, became very exhausting because it's not the message I wanted to put out there. I was putting out a message that subconsciously or unconsciously, I was putting out this message that I am perfect 100% of the time. I look amazing 100% of the time. I'm on my shit 100% of the time. And that is why you should buy personal training with me. Because if I can do it, anyone can do it. And just stop giving excuses, blah, blah, blah. And this conversation really opened my eyes to A, the message I actually wanted to portray, and B, it made me call myself out on my own bullshit. Like, I remember going through my feed, like, the next couple days, and not being disgusted with it, but just being like, oh my god, Amber, what the fuck? Like, what are you doing? Why do you have these pictures on here? Like, why are you doing these sexy photo shoots? Like, me and a friend at the time did, like, this photo shoot on a bike, and it was just, like, a very sexy photo shoot. I mean, I was clothed and all that good stuff, but still, like, it just wasn't the message I wanted to portray. It was actually quite the opposite, the polarizing message I wanted to portray, because here I am in real time, in real life, I have a great message. I'm educated. And this is one of the things that he was telling me. He's like, in real life, Amber, you're fucking brilliant. Like, you have a great mind. You are real. You're authentic. You're positive. Like, you have a really good message. But the message you're sending out is fucking bullshit. And he didn't say that exactly, but I mean, in a sense, he did say that. And I would have to completely, looking back, I have to 100% completely agree with him. I was putting so much energy into being perfect. And quite honestly, I was posting things strictly off of what I knew would get more likes, right? So I knew a good glute picture before my workout would get, you know, a couple hundred likes, as opposed to actually sharing information of the perfect deadlift or the perfect squat or how to properly perform a you know, cable glute kickback. So I wasn't giving anybody good content. I was just posting my body. And the problem with that is, and this is what I'm finding now, is if you're a fitness influencer doing this and this is how you're getting your hype and your likes and your following, it puts an insane amount of pressure and stress on you to always uphold this image, to always be spot on, to always hit your macros, to always hit your calories, to always look a certain way. And if you were bloated one day or on your period one day, or you just felt like shit one day, you couldn't show up. You couldn't post that because that would go against what you were trying to be perceived as, right? So I was portraying myself kind of as this bimbo that only really cared about her looks. And like I said, that was the complete opposite of who I actually was. And it took this conversation with this friend for me to really realize, like, you know, I have really good content and it's about time I start putting it out there and stop relying on my looks to build a following. And I've always wanted to be portrayed as a strong woman. And that was honestly what I built my entire foundation and following on. So women would literally message me quite often asking how I've developed such a strong mindset. And quite honestly, I prided myself on that. So not too often would I get DMs saying, oh, I'm inspiring them for pretty much anything other than my mindset. And how are you so strong-willed? If people weren't really asking me fitness advice, or people weren't coming to me for fitness or coming to me for online coaching or coming to me for coaching at all, they were more concerned about, wow, how do you have this confidence? Like, how do you have such amazing confidence and you're so strong, you never let anything bother you? And people were coming to me for that. And I realized that's not the message I wanted to be putting out there. You know, yeah, I am a strong woman, but there's also a lot to be said about a woman who is open to being vulnerable. And I think that there's a lot of beauty and a lot of strength in that as well. So it really made me start to dive into the message I wanted to be portrayed on my social media. So like I was saying, I felt this extreme pressure to always be portrayed as, you know, this ridiculous person with super ridiculous amounts of confidence. And now looking back, when you're trying so hard to portray confidence, it often is because you're trying to hide an insecurity. And for me, this was definitely the case. You know, I was battling a lot at the time. I was trying to, you know, be on every platform. And so people were sending me a lot of, you know, rude comments just saying, you know, how, oh, you have no real talent if this is how you're getting your likes. And especially on TikTok, I would get that a lot, is people would just, like I said earlier, portray me as this bimbo. And so it really did hit a soft spot. And I think it hit such a soft spot and a huge insecurity of mine, because all my life I've gone to school and I've really tried to be very book smart. So I think that it just kept hitting this like really soft spot in my heart. So it was just kind of like a cycle. I would just try to be even more confident and be portrayed as even more confident and act like it didn't bother me, when really it did bother me and I was not facing that insecurity. So it just led to this kind of like cycle of me just consistently putting out these like best looking photos and these glute pictures of like these amazing angles just to get those likes and those comments to revalidate myself, because I was getting hurt by people calling me out on my shit, right? So I began to get really real with myself. I began to realize, hey, I have some insecurities I need to deal with. I need to revamp my social media platforms. I need to really sit and think about what the fuck I want my message to be, because I just was beginning to get lost in it all. And while I was getting lost in all of social media and kind of my brand and branding myself, I was losing myself. And now, guys, I really want to point out that when I began losing myself, that's probably the best thing that could have happened to me, because I very easily could have ignored this conversation I had with this friend and just kept doing what I was doing. And then that could have spiraled down very, very quickly. So I started allowing myself to be more authentic and to kind of show my true self on social media. I stopped, like, for a very long time on social media, I would only post when I was feeling amazing, and I would get all dolled up, make sure I was wearing makeup, and, you know, just made sure I was always on point. So I stopped doing that. I started showing my ups and my downs and started being very vulnerable at times on social media. And just because it's who I am, I'm a compassionate person. Like, if you actually know me, I'm very vulnerable. I'm very compassionate. I'm very caring. I'm very much a giver. And I care about others and I want to help others. Like, that is me, who I am at my core. And so that leads to, you know, me constantly giving, which we're going to get into as well. So once I started, you know, showing up when I looked like shit and showing up when I looked pretty and showing up when I was upset and showing up when I was really happy, once I started showing my true self, started posting on my feed more valuable content, content that actually fucking mattered, like, you know, hey, I did a shoulder series, like, so how to help fix your shoulder pain, how to help fix your lower back pain, the proper way to walk. So I started posting content that I knew would help others, and I knew it wouldn't get as many likes as, you know, my fucking glute glow up would, or my, you know, 2-year transformation would, or this great angle here of me in a bikini. I knew it wouldn't get these likes, but I told myself it was okay. I told myself I'm going to start building a following that I actually wanted to engage with, not a following of guys who would just save my Instagram pictures to fucking, like, beat off to later, right? So I started doing what I wanted to do, and I really started stepping into my confidence and my calling. And this, guys, this is when my accounts started to grow like wildfire. I shit you not, I gained 3,000 followers in 2 months, and I did it organically. I didn't promote any posts. I didn't, you know, post, like, things I didn't want to post. If I posted a picture of me looking bomb as fuck in a bikini, it was because I wanted to post that picture. It wasn't because I felt like I had to, because my audience, you know, hasn't seen me in 2 days and I have to show off my body. No, now I post really valuable content. I post, you know, things that help people feel better. I post at-home workouts. Like, during this quarantine, that's one thing I'm really doing, is really giving people information on how to do, like, progressive programming without a gym and stuff of that nature. And I'm fucking loving it. Like, it's easy for me to post 2-3 times a day on social media now, as opposed to it was getting so hard for me to show up once every 3 or 4 days on social media. So that's when my social media really started to grow, and that's when, you know, and when I started doing this, I expected my social media to really take a shitter, but instead it did quite the opposite, right? So I shared my story for the first time in my life, and this was when I really knew I loved who I was becoming, because I was able to look my old self and be like, you know what, that's not who I am, and I have changed, and I'm changing for the better, and I'm blossoming. Like, I'm, you know, becoming this great person. And I'm not scared to say that on a podcast, because I'm truly proud of who I'm becoming. And that's not cockiness. I think that's more just that confidence shining, right? So people would literally message me and be like, wow, like, you're glowing, or wow, like, you're, you know, blah, blah, blah. But more importantly, people would message me for the fucking reason I had an Instagram. They would message me for fitness related questions. And that alone, I don't give a fuck if I lost 10,000 followers. That alone makes me so happy, because people are now, I'm building that rapport with people, right? So people are now coming to me for advice, for coaching, for whatever fitness, nutrition related issues they're having, because they now see, hey, she knows her shit. So now I'm actually able to build my business, my sustainable business off of what I'm posting, as opposed to having a shit ton of followers who only care about the fucking best angles I'm posting. You know what I mean? So like I said, I shared my story for the first time. I actually shared it on this podcast, and I shared a very vulnerable post about, like, my childhood and what I went through and how it's kind of shaped me to the woman I am now. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back and listen to the podcast. It's called What Bodybuilders Don't Tell You. And it just kind of gives you more insight on me and why I am the way I am, I guess. But I did that, and for the first time in my life, I was able to share that story. This was something I was terrified to put out on any type of platform because nobody knew it other than my very best friends and my family. So it was very scary for me, but that's how I knew I was growing as an individual, and that's how I knew I was truly stepping into my confidence and my calling, right? Because I was able to look at who I was and what I've been through 13 years ago and say, that's not me anymore. This story can help somebody. I'm going to put it out there, right? So I promised myself to start showing up on my bad days because I'm a real person with real fucking feelings, and I stopped caring about my insecurities. So like my hideous laugh or like my boxy face or if I was feeling bloated one day or if I felt like I didn't look good that one day, I stopped caring about the fucking perfect angles and shit like that. And I just started showing up. No matter what, I would just fucking show up. And that's when the support really came in. People could truly notice a difference. And honestly, my positivity started manifesting itself. And I honestly remember I would just tell myself, fake it till you make it. And once you start feeding your insides with positivity and feeding your insides with self-love and self-care, that's when that shit starts manifesting, right? So I found myself worried so much about others and what they thought that I began neglecting my true self, right? So this is kind of before I really started digging into what I wanted my calling or what I wanted my message to be. And I think that as coaches or really anyone in the service industry or anyone who is a giver for that matter, it is so easy to get caught up in helping others so much that you begin to honestly neglect yourself. And honestly, to that, I just want to say you can't help anyone if you don't take care of yourself first. So what began to happen to me at the same point as I was posting all this bullshit on social media that I didn't want to post, I was half-ass showing up on social media. I was half-ass showing up for my clients. I was half-ass showing up for my friends, if at all. And honestly, any man that tried to enter my life, I was half-ass showing up for them too because I was so drained. And because I wasn't being who I truly wanted to be, right? Not only that, I was giving so much of me without replenishing my cup at all. And this is when I just got promoted in my career. So I just got promoted to fitness manager. So that was a really big deal for me. I had just started my doctoral program. So that was a really big deal for me. So there was a huge transition period in my life and everything. I just felt like I was juggling so much. And with those things that I was juggling, I felt like social media was one of those as well. And it was strictly because, like I said, I was just bullshitting my way on social media and I wasn't truly being who I was, right? I mean, I wasn't being a fake bitch, but I definitely wasn't being and showing my true self, right? So I just felt like I was balancing so much, juggling so much. I was pouring so much out of myself into others that I just got so ran down. And I keep referring back to this conversation I had because this conversation is truly what made me think about my priorities and think about what I needed to have in place to start helping others. I couldn't help others anymore because myself was just, I was so ran down, right? So I started realizing that it really is the little things that matter in my daily routines and it's not the big things. And this ties into so many things, but we're on a fitness podcast, so we'll tie it into that, right? So even with fitness, it's not that one big PR you hit that changed your lifestyle, right? It's all those little habits you changed that led up to you to be able to hit that PR. So it goes the same thing with self-care, right? It's little things. So this is going to bring me into those five things I mentioned earlier in this podcast. And that number one thing, these are things that have all really, really helped me. So hopefully this will give you guys some tangible things to kind of take back and to apply to your own life. But the first thing I really want to touch on is setting a morning and night routine. And guys, I get it, yo. Like, it sounds cliche. It sounds corny. I freaking get it. But it is necessary. Like, you never know how necessary it is until you fucking do it. So just try to do it for 2 weeks and then come talk to your girl, all right? So what I do now, guys, for my morning routine is, and this I've definitely stuck to with this quarantine. But even when I got promoted and started my doctoral program, I was like, I need to make sure I do these things. Like, I need it for my sanity. So I set a morning and night routine. And for me, that morning routine was stretching. 30 minutes to myself in the morning, stretching. No phone, before I have my coffee, before I take Sage, my dog, my daughter out, before I do any of that, 30 minutes dedicated to myself, in my thoughts, just moving. I can put music on, just moving. And I really just started to allow myself to have 30 minutes in the morning to stretch, to do whatever I needed, to just flow with my body, to allow my body to move, to allow my body to be connected. And I know that this sounds cliche and it sounds crazy, but it truly did really start to help me. It started setting my mornings up for success. It started giving me more clarity. It started helping me just understand my intentions for the day. And again, I know that this might sound kind of crazy to you guys, but it truly did help me for the best, right? So the second thing in my morning routine was a podcast while I made my morning coffee. And now depending on what was on my agenda for that day, depended on how long that podcast could be. But if you're anything like me, you love learning, you like hearing new things, new perspectives, new ideas and ideals. And that's kind of what I thrive off of. That's like when I feel my best. That's when I'm really thriving, is when I'm learning, right? So for me, part of my morning routine is to just brew a cup of coffee and sit and listen to a podcast. And again, podcast could be 20 to 30 minutes if I was having a shorter morning and had to be at work or something, or a podcast could be 2 to 4 hours depending on what I had on my agenda that day. But I stick true to the podcast with the coffee. Now, the third thing that I need for myself, for my morning routine, and this is honestly something I was really scared to put on social media for quite some time because, you know, I was just scared of being judged, this, that, and the fourth. But I put music on, specifically worship music, because I do believe in God. And I'm still finding my way through all of that. So I'm understanding, you know, different religions and stuff of that nature. But I do know that I believe in God, and I do believe in the spiritual world, I'll say. So for me, my morning routine was putting on worship music in the morning. And this is what I did when I was getting ready, right? So this is what I did while I was like showering, brushing my teeth, putting makeup on, doing my hair, whatever I was doing to actually get ready. This helped me set my day and my intentions, right? So maybe all three of those things you can kind of incorporate into your morning routine. Maybe you can incorporate one or two. Maybe you can't connect with any of those three things. However, the point of this is for you guys to find whatever works for you, right? So just like in fitness, you have to find something that works for you. And if one of those things works for you, great. If all three work, perfect. Start using them and implement them, but find some things that you need every morning to have a successful day, and it will really start changing things for you. So for a night routine, same concept, guys. I do aromatherapy before I go to bed, and honestly, all that is it's a fancy way to say I put on my diffuser and I have essential oils. But for me, that's a really good way to start winding down. It kind of like sets the tone for, okay, once I do this, I know my nightly routine is starting. I know it's time for me to start winding down and kind of get ready for bed. So it's just kind of like a mental thing for me at this point, but it helps me understand, hey, body, you're about to go to bed. So let's start acting like it, right? So I do that. I also do any type of, I read some scripture. It just depends on where I'm feeling called to at that point in time, and I'll pray. Now, some nights I'll do both, read scripture and pray, and some nights I'll just pray, some nights I'll just read scripture. Well, I always pray every night, but maybe not at that time. But it just depends on how I'm feeling, what I need out of that, and what I'm looking for, and how much help I need really for the day. So that's the second thing I do. Excuse me. And the third thing I do is I walk my dog. And I'm really strict about this. Sometimes it'll be a 5-minute walk. Other times it'll be like a sometimes I need like an hour, you know, but what I'm really strict about, guys, is not allowing my phone to go with me. And I'm so hyper connected all day. I'm on my phone all day. So like I said, I'm a fitness manager. So clients are constantly reaching out. Members are constantly reaching out. Corporate's constantly reaching out. My GM, blah, 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 blah. I constantly have people pulling me in every which direction. Friends, family, relationships, you know, that for this walk, depending on how much I need to decompress, for this walk, I don't bring my phone. And this has helped me out so much. It would blow your mind. So this is something that I don't negotiate with. I do, and I know it's something I need to do. So that's my night routine. Maybe you can use one. Maybe you can use all three. I don't know. Find whatever works for you guys, but stick to it. So that kind of leads me into my second point here out of the 5 points I'm making. Set boundaries and don't be scared to set boundaries. This is probably the ultimate form of self-care you can do, right? So set your boundaries and do not fold. So for me, I had this really great mentor. His name's Michael LeGrand. He was my GM at Around the Clock when I first started working there. And he was an incredible leader. And I was very sad to see him go. But he taught me something that I will take with me for any job I have, anywhere I go. This will forever be in my life now. And I'm very thankful for it. It sounds simple, but it was kind of like that aha moment for me, right? So I'll never forget the first day I got hired. He sat with me and asked how much I wanted to make as a personal trainer. And I told him $80,000. I wanted that to be my yearly income and I wasn't going to waver on it. And so he looked at me. A, he thought I was fucking insane. But B, he said, okay, let's map it out. And so he did. He crunched the numbers with me, told me exactly what I needed to do. And I remember looking at him and telling him, I'm going to be your best personal trainer. Like, nobody's going to be able to touch me. And I truly believed that. And at the time, I was entering a scene where all these OG personal trainers, they were there for like 5-6 years. And I think everybody got really comfortable and really lazy, if I'm being quite honest. So I just remember looking at him and saying, I'm going to be your best trainer. Let's freaking go. At the time, 6 Mile was falling apart too. Like, it was so clear that it needed help, right? And so we had that conversation. At the end of that conversation, I don't know if he remembers this or not, but I do. He's like, all right, you know what? You're going to be the fitness manager of 6 Mile one day. And at the time, leadership wasn't even in my thoughts. It wasn't even something I ever thought of. It wasn't something I thought I could really do. I never really considered myself a leader. I just kind of, you know, did what I wanted to do and I took my path and, you know, I just made shit work for myself always. So I remember he told me, like, you're a natural leader and you're going to be the fitness manager of 6 Mile one day. I kind of laughed. But then I really liked the idea, actually. Like, it really kind of gave me a goal, in a sense. You know what I mean? So he had this talk with me. He's like, all right, so what I need from you now is this, like, and I'm sure many people who can attest to this. So, you know, those jobs where it's like overwhelming, chaotic, stupid busy, all day long, doesn't stop. It's very easy to go a 12 to 14 hour shift without taking a break and to kind of get lost in the chaos. And before you know it, it's 7 p.m. You're starving. You're being a bitch because you're so hungry. You haven't taken a break all day and you're just so overstimulated. You can't do anything else for anyone, you know? And that's what Around the Clock was like or is like for me. So, and he warned me, he's like, look, things are going to get crazy. He's like, if you want to hit these numbers, it's going to get crazy. So what I need you to do is set boundaries for yourself. So no matter what members, no matter what client, no matter what, you know, him as my GM, he's like, no matter what I need from you, no matter what the assistant general manager needs from you, no matter what corporate members, clients, no matter what friends, family, no matter what anybody freaking needs from you, before we really get balls to the wall busy, I need you to set 3 things that you need in a day and do not waver on them. Set them, do them every single day, no matter who needs what from you. And I remember thinking, wow, this is so stupid because he literally made me write them down and hand them into him like a week later. Not even a week later, it was like a day later. And I remember thinking, this is so stupid, but I'll do it to make him happy. That way he can think I'm serious and I want this job, right? So I remember I started, it made me think, what are my boundaries? I had no idea at the time. I was 24. I had no idea what the freak I wanted or what my expectations were, what made me sane. You know, I had no idea. So I'm very appreciative because it made me for 24 to 48 hours think about what my boundaries are. What do I need every single day for me to be satisfied, for me to be level-headed, for me to have mental clarity? What do I freaking need, right? So the three things I came up with was, one, first and foremost, I needed to work out and I needed a midday break. Now, like I said, it's very easy and hectic setting jobs to work 14 hours and not take a break because you're so lost in everything, right, that's going on, and it's hectic and chaos. But no matter who needed me, no matter what needed me, no matter what had my attention, my priority, every day, 6 days a week, I would take a midday break and I would work out. And I allowed myself an hour and a half in the middle of my day. I didn't work out that whole time, but I allowed my hour and a half because it was one of those things I needed to decompress. Working out has always been a huge stress reliever for me. So that's what I needed, right? And I think he knew that. He knew that after our first conversation. He knew that that was just the type of personality I was, right? And then the second thing I needed was playtime with Sage. So Sage is my dog. And honestly, every time I talk about her, I get a little emotional because she's my freaking lifeline. Like, moment of silence, because this dog has single-handedly gotten me through the worst times of my life. Like, 100% has gotten me through some of the shittiest things you could imagine. And so I just know I need to connect with her every day. It's what I need, you know? And so that was one of that was in that hour and a half, I was fortunate enough to live about 5 minutes away from the gym. I went home and I connected with Sage, whether it was a walk, whether it was playtime, whether it was cuddles, whatever that looked like for me. I made sure I had time with her. And so not only that, but it's like animal neglect to be gone for 14 hours a day and not fucking go home to see your dog. So there's that too. And then the third thing I needed was 30 minutes to decompress when I got home. So at the time I had roommates, you know, on and off. I had boyfriends on and off. I just always had somebody who needed something from me right when I got home. And this is going to kind of tie into my third point pretty nicely too. But I always had somebody pulling me when I got home. So I know me and I know myself well enough now to know that I need 30 minutes to decompress when I get home before anyone can pull me to a movie, to dinner, to tell me about their day, to vent to me, before I can be a good partner, a good friend, a good roommate. I need to take care of myself and I need 30 minutes to decompress. And that might not be everyone, but for me, my job is so overstimulating that it's just a necessity for me at this point. And so that goes into setting boundaries and friendships and relationships, right? So that's something I had to, that's a conversation I had to start having with whoever I was living with at the time, whether it was a boyfriend or a roommate or a friend. Anytime I moved in with somebody new, I made sure they knew that was a boundary of mine. And these are boundaries, guys, I've stuck to for 2 years now. So it's not like I just started doing these things like last week and now I'm preaching about them. These are like morning, night routines and boundaries I've set over 2 years ago now when I first got the job at Around the Clock. Now setting boundaries with relationships. I'm going to dig into this because I really think for you to, really reach your optimal and most fulfilling self, and well, that sounds super cliche and lame, but in order for you to reach your maximum potential with your calling and your confidence, I truly believe you need to set boundaries in every aspect of your life. So that's why I'm touching on this topic, not because I think I'm an expert on relationships. So I just want to kind of say that because I'm absolutely not an expert in relationships, but these are things that I know do work. Okay. So setting boundaries in relationships. What I've learned is be clear with what you're looking for. If you're looking to be just friends with benefits and to just hook up occasionally, be clear about that and don't fold. Make sure you're checking in with that other person to make sure you guys are just staying on that same page. You know, if you want to be in a relationship, have that conversation. The worst thing that can happen is you find out the answer. So maybe they are on the same page and maybe they're not on that same page. And then if you know you're at a point in your life where you want to settle down and you want to be serious, at least you had that conversation, you set those boundaries, and now you can maybe find somebody who is ready for that same thing, you know? Point being, guys, is excuse me, stop tiptoeing around these situations. Be bold. Be yourself. Don't put up with shit that you know you shouldn't be putting up with. Set those damn boundaries. Set boundaries with how much alone time you need, what you know you need out of a relationship, and if they can offer it to you or not. So there's no point in wasting time in a relationship if people can't respect your boundaries. They can't give you what you know you need. Then move on. You know what I mean? So set those boundaries, be clear about them, and don't fold. Also, setting boundaries with family members. Guys, I cannot tell you how important this is. So all the time I hear clients, friends, and people around me saying, oh my God, I'm doing this for my family, or, oh, I'm getting this degree for my family, or my mom wants me to be a doctor, or my mom wants me to be a nurse, or, you know, all the guys in my family did the Marines, so I have to do the Marines, or my father's a pastor, so I have to follow in his footsteps. Fuck that. Find your own calling. You cannot live your life dependent on your family and your friends and what they think you should do. Guys, if I would have done that, I never would have been a personal trainer, ever. My mom, the first time I told her I was doing personal training and opening up a studio, I could tell she was not happy. Not happy at all. When I told her I was going to start working for around the clock after my studio opened, she was like, okay, but what are you going to do for a career? Like, no kidding, that was the conversation we had. So, and a huge part of that is my own fault because I never set those boundaries. I never said, no, this is what makes me happy. I don't need a degree. And so I've always been the person to say, I want to have a doctorate. I want to have a doctorate. And for me, that held so much value for so long. And it wasn't until recently I learned, wow, like degrees, like I have my bachelor's and my master's and they don't mean shit, guys. Like what matters is how happy you are chasing your dreams and your goals and your aspirations and your careers. What matters is the experience you have. So I could be in school right now to be a physical therapist like I had planned to get my doctorate in physical therapy, but it wouldn't have mattered if I didn't have any hands-on experience. Just like how with personal training, you can have the best certification in the fucking world, but if you have no experience, I don't care. I'm still not going to hire you. You know what I mean? So it really does come down to what makes you happy and the experience and the relationships you're building. Excuse me. So like I was saying, set those boundaries with your family members. Maybe you need time apart to break toxic cycles that your family has installed. And there's nothing wrong with that. I can't tell you how many times I've had to distance myself from a family member or all my family members for that matter to break a cycle that I've noticed that, you know, especially the women in my family have. If there's something I know I don't want my life to be like, then yeah, maybe I do need to distance myself for a little bit. That way I can kind of have a clear mind, have clarity with my thoughts, and reroute my own life. And guys, there's nothing wrong with setting those boundaries. And if they make you feel bad for that, shame on them, okay? So maybe, you know, they need to understand your life is your life. And you, honestly, guys, you can't live your life based off of what your family and friends think. Like I said, if I did that, I started doing personal training at the age of 16. I wouldn't be, wow, I'm going to be 26 next week. That's crazy. But I wouldn't be 10 years deep into a career that I truly love. That will be my career forever. Like, I love this shit. Like, and I'm making great money doing it too. And that's not to boast and to brag, but that's to say, hey, look, you can make a career. Even if people are looking at you like you're a fucking retard, you can do it. If you have enough passion, you have enough motivation and discipline to make it work. Okay. So the third kind of key concept I want to tie into for the self-care series, and it ties really nicely into one and two, is number three, time management. Guys, prioritize the things you need and stop making fucking excuses. Like at the end of the day, that's all you're doing. After you figure out what your boundaries are, because of course that's step one, right? And after you set those boundaries, which is step two, make sure you're following through with those damn boundaries, right? So after you set the boundaries, people will understand. And honestly, if you set a boundary and there's somebody in your life who doesn't respect it or doesn't agree with it or doesn't understand and makes it impossible for you to keep that boundary, fuck them. You don't need them, fuck them. And I very rarely say that because I'm very much a person of, I give everyone a million chances, but you do not waver on your boundaries, guys, after you set them. If it's something you know you need in your life to have a happy and fulfilled lifestyle, do not fold for anyone. I don't care if it's your mom or dad or your best friend. Fuck them, okay? So, I really, guys, any relationship that's going to be ruined by a boundary you've set, and I know that what I was just saying sounds very harsh, but any relationship that's going to be ruined by a boundary you've set, you truly don't need them. If you're setting that because you need it for your mental sanity and they disrespect it, who cares? Okay, move on. But manage your time wisely. Make sure there's no point in having a morning and a night routine written down on a fucking piece of paper. Give yourself the time you need in the morning and the night to do those things. Give yourself the time you need in the middle of your day to do the three things you need to have a good day. There's no point in writing down on a piece of paper and handing it to my old general manager saying, hey, I need these three things in a day to be happy, and then never fucking doing them. Like, what good does that do? So it's one thing to set an intention. It's another thing to follow through with those intentions, guys. So really start managing your time for self-care, okay? And the fourth thing I really want to speak on is the way you speak to yourself. This is huge. The things that you tell yourself are absolutely what you become. You definitely manifest that shit. So one thing I really have to struggle, I've really struggled with my clients, and I would say probably 75% of them do this, is they talk to themselves worse than their worst enemy would talk to them. Like, all day long, like they could be doing, I don't know, a deadlift, and they'll literally say, oh, I'm so stupid. Or they'll look in the mirror and say, I'm fat. Let's take that one. I'm fat, right? So all day long, I hear my clients say, oh, I'm fat. I'm chubby. I'm fat. I'm chubby. It's like, guys, you have to stop identifying yourself with negative comments. So sure, you might have fat on you, but don't identify yourself as fat, because then you're just stuck in this vicious cycle, right? So say, yeah, I have room for improvement. I have fat on me, but I don't identify as fat. That's not your being. That's not who you are. Not only that, but you're manifesting it, guys. So you keep constantly telling yourself these negative comments. I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. Okay, well, what the fuck? You're just going to go home and keep eating then. You know what I mean? You're not going to stick to that caloric deficit. You're not going to work out because you're just feeding your mind with these negative comments. It's very hard to pull yourself out of that cycle. You know what I mean? So start really watching the way you speak to yourself and start manifesting more positive things instead of these negative comments, okay? So the fifth thing and the last thing I really want to touch on, and it ties into everything else, is even like the way you speak to yourself, to be conscious of that, it takes growth, right? So number five is seeking growth. Guys, you have to know your weaknesses, and maybe the way you speak to yourself is a weakness, but you also have to know your strengths, and you have to use your strengths to your advantage, right? So you have to leverage your strengths. You have to invest equal amount of time in your weaknesses and in your strengths. So I think one thing that a lot of people neglect or don't have is self-awareness. People very rarely are able to self-reflect. And I think this is what stunts growth more often than not, right? So becoming self-aware is probably up there with setting boundaries when it comes to the ultimate form of self-care. Because it really allows you to know yourself, and it allows you to work on those weaknesses. It allows you to properly take constructive criticism. It allows you to constantly reroute your mind and constantly change perspectives and understand new perspectives and maybe gain insight from somebody else. So you have to be seeking growth. You have to actively be seeking growth. You have to actively be making these decisions, right? So you can't just keep letting life happen to you and just say, oh, it's everybody else's fault, or God, life is so fucked up to me. Be self-aware. Maybe you're in a cycle and you don't even realize you're in the cycle, or maybe you're doing something to attract certain people in your life, or maybe you're doing something to attract these men in your life, or these shitty best friends, or these shitty eating patterns, you know? So start being more self-aware, and that's going to allow you to understand your weaknesses. That way you can then work on your weaknesses. And if you don't know how to work on self-awareness, one thing I am very grateful for is the communications degree I first had. So it taught me a lot on perspective, and it taught me a lot on, you know, different diversities and ideals and concepts. And it really allowed me to kind of see where I fall on the huge spectrum. So guys, if you don't have access to like a university or state college to take like communication courses that really preach on perspective and things of that nature with diversity, YouTube is your best fucking friend. And just YouTube, how to become more self-aware, YouTube, you know, different perspective and communication courses. And I promise you, thousands and thousands will pop up, and start taking the things you learn with a grain of salt. That way you can become more self-aware. So yeah, I think it's really important to invest time in yourself. I think you need to be investing time to sharpen your strengths 100%, sharpen your crafts, but don't neglect your weaknesses, and really learn how to take constructive criticism. And that's another really good form of self-care, right? So guys, I know when people think of self-care, they think of like bubble baths with a bottle of fucking wine and, you know, facials and skincare and shit like that. This was kind of different. I wanted it to be kind of like tangible steps you can take and you can implement into your daily lives, whether you're a guy or a girl. And these are things I've truly implemented in my life, and I'm nowhere near perfect, but they have helped me tenfold, right? So maybe you can take some of them, but just to kind of recap the self-care series, number one, morning and night routine. Find it. Make time for it. Prioritize it. Do it, okay? Write it down and stick to it. Number two, probably the most ultimate form of self-care is setting boundaries, and do not waver in them. Do not fold. Set those boundaries with your professional life, your romantic life, and your friendships, your family. Set them. Do not fold, okay? Number three ties into number one and two very nicely, time management. So make sure you're prioritizing number one and two, morning night routine, setting boundaries. Make sure your time management skills are on point. That way you have time to get everything done in the day you need to get done without losing your fucking sanity, right? Number four, watch the way you speak to yourself. What you tell yourself is what you become, and you manifest that. So I can't stress this enough, guys. Be kind to yourselves. If you wouldn't call your best friend fucking ugly, don't call yourself ugly. Seriously, like, cut the shit. Next time I hear a client say I'm fat and I know that they listen to my podcast, I'm going to smack them in the face. Like, watch the way you talk to yourself, guys. And number five, most importantly, seek growth. Know your weaknesses, know your strengths, become more self-aware, and actively work on your fucking shit, right? Ah, well, that was a different episode, and hopefully it's something that you guys like and kind of tie into your daily routine. If you do like it, give me a rating and a review. Let me know what you liked, what you didn't like. I don't really care. Just, you know, help guide me in this podcast. Like I said, I'm definitely not a master at this podcasting thing. This is my first episode, actually, with the fucking mic. So, hey, that's cool, right? Moving up in the podcast world. But yeah, let me know. Leave a rating and a review. Subscribe to me if you like what I'm saying. That way you get the notifications. But yeah, that pretty much sums up the show, guys. I want to give a huge thank you to all of you that took the time out of your day to learn, grow, and adapt with me. For more of me, go ahead and follow my personal IG at amber.dupree. Dupree is spelled D-U-P-R-E-E, where I just post daily workouts, health and fitness tips, and just really express myself. So yeah, I hope you guys had a good time. I hope you learned something. I hope you can take one of these five self-care tips and implement them into your daily lives. And yeah, I hope you guys have a great night, and I look forward to talking to you soon. Bye.